Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the Postgraduate Learning and Teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/med. In this podcast, I'm very pleased to be speaking to Nikki Doig. Nikki is a lecturer in education at the University of Dundee, joining the university in 2015 after 10 years of working in a variety of teaching and leadership roles in the primary sector. Nikki's own drama education started long before her teaching career with a BA in Dramatic Studies from RSEMD. In 2022, she completed her M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Performing Arts at RCS and her scholarship centres on teacher confidence, drama in education and learning beyond subject boundaries. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
Hi, my name is Nikki Doig and I'm a lecturer in education at the University of Dundee, working on our MA and postgrad primary teaching programmes. With my role there, I teach across lots of different modules. So I do lots of things, not just kind of arts focus, but I teach on all things kind of pedagogy and assessment and learning beyond subject boundaries. And new focus is learning and teaching for sustainability as well. But and where my heart lies is with drama. So I deliver all the drama inputs to our postgrad and undergrad primary teaching students in terms of exploring drama in the primary school. But it's just one small part of a much bigger whole.
And when you're working with learners, what's your goal?
Thinking about specifically drama, for me, it is about illustrating for my students the power and potential of drama in the primary school classroom. My students come from all sorts of backgrounds and ranges of experience, but for me, ultimately, it's about making drama accessible and supporting the students and being able to visualise how it might work in their own classrooms.
Okay, so what barriers get in the way of that goal then?
Time is one of the biggest ones. We're always vying for time for our subjects and for our areas of specialism. So time is a big one. So how we use that time is really important. Student confidence as well and student engagement, that's been more and more of a focus lately, particularly post-COVID, in terms of how our students are engaging in their studies. But also what our students are experiencing in practice in schools as well. Part of the work that I did on my M.Ed that I did with the Conservatoire was looking at how to develop student teacher confidence in teaching drama. And they need experience of drama. They need to understand what drama is, first of all. They need experience of drama as learners. And, you know, I can support them with that on campus, but they also need experience of drama as teachers, and they need really positive drama teaching role models. And there's only so much of that we can explore while they're on campus. And for many different and increasingly complex reasons, the majority of the students aren't seeing much or any drama in schools. And that kind of sends a message in terms of their developing values and where they place value and things as well in terms of the arts. So that's a big barrier. Yeah.
So what strategies do you use to help you achieve your goal and or deal with these barriers?
Yeah. In terms of practice, that's kind of been a kind of core focus at the moment in terms of what my students are experiencing in school and how to support that. And I started looking at that actually through my first project with the M.Ed when I was looking at how to build student teacher confidence. And during COVID, when we couldn't get into the drama workshop, all learning moved online, and I was using a lot of, I found a small series of videos of excellent practice from a school in New Zealand, a primary school, and it was superb. And it also made me realise, for all the work that I did in the workshops with the students, we never observed practice. We never took the time to look at videos ourselves because our time was so short and we were so busy doing and trying to unpack that. And I was also conscious that these videos that I'd access through YouTube could disappear at any time and that resource could go. And so as I progressed, that kind of little issue of supporting my students and being able to observe good quality practice and have a resource that wouldn't disappear stayed with me. And so one of the things that I'm working on just now through this kind of came out of that first project and grew out of my final project with the MEDJ, which looked at an approach to dramatic inquiry called Mantle of the Expert. And I got to know Tim Taylor, who did my initial CPD on that a few years ago now. We've built up a relationship. Tim's one of the foremost teacher educators in Mantle of the Expert in the UK. And we're now at the stage where we're applying for funding to work in a school in England and a school in Scotland over a couple of weeks and develop films of practice that we will be able to share. I'll be able to share with my students and I'll know they'll not disappear. And it's really rich opportunity to explore and discuss. I wish I had more time with the students to really be able to unpack them and explore them together. But for me, really, it's about igniting that spark. And if what I do with them is enough, I've kind of come to peace with that over the 8 years I've been working at the uni. If I'll never be able to do everything. I'll never be able to do a fraction of what I want to do. But if I can ignite the spark that they then take out into class and gives them the confidence to have a go, they're more likely then the development then really is up to them on into their future practice. So that's kind of the big thing that I'm working on just now. And then also thinking about student engagement, that's another big thing. We've been talking a lot lately about how our students are or not engaging. And it's been an issue since before COVID, in terms of the change we've seen in students, but it's been exacerbated since COVID. Attendance is an ongoing issue on campus. Students collaborating together, study skills, all of these things that have been impacted. And my peer and your colleague, Jamie Ross, obviously did her and you've done a podcast where she talked about that in terms of the challenges of Generation Z, and she explored that for her MEDJ project, and she very kindly shared her findings with us, and we're using that to really kind of dig into some of the challenges that Gen Z are experiencing and looking at our pedagogical approaches, because it's not about lowering our expectations of what we want our students to kind of achieve by the end of their studies. But we need to, you know, it's what we teach our students to do as well. We need to adapt and evolve with our changing student profile as well. So looking at that more broadly, and then that'll obviously filter into the kind of drama work that I do and how Tim talks a lot about protecting these learners into the drama. And I talk a lot about protecting my students into drama, because some of them come in terrified of the drama space and some come in very, you know, relaxed and varying degrees amongst that. So for me, it's about how I protect those learners in to nurture and build that confidence in drama. Yeah.
Thanks, Nikki. So how do you measure your success as an arts educator?
Well, I mentioned that spark. And I think the biggest thing for me is when a student comes up and tells me about them having a go in practice. This year, in particular, something that jumps out at me was a postgrad student came up and she said, "I'm a scientist. I was terrified of drama." And she said, "I had a go and it was brilliant. And I saw the impact that it had and I love it now." And that's what I'm aiming for, that spark, because I know that she will go off and she will have a go. And it's something, I don't know, something else I come to, I don't know, I have to find peace with, is I always kind of go, would you say I bit the bullet and had a go at maths? Because you wouldn't get away with that. So why are we still talking like that around the arts? Yeah, but that's a soapbox for another day.
Thanks, Nikki. Okay, so how would you describe the ideal relationship between you and your learner?
I would say it's the same. It's the same whether I'm teaching a primary one pupil or I'm teaching a grown up. And it's a relationship that's about mutual respect and about active listening and a reciprocal relationship where learning happens on both sides. And I think, to go back again to my time doing my MEd, for me, that was so important to remind myself what it's like to be a learner. And it's really helped give a fresh flush, for want of a better phrase, to my empathy and how I approach supporting my students and just seeing them a little bit more sympathetically and reminding me that we're all human. And I think that sometimes particularly gets lost for me at uni when, for example, for not obviously the practical stuff and the face-to-face stuff, but if we're marking and blind marking and you can get lost in a screen and forget there's a human at the other side of that, trying their best and just being mindful of that, I think, in all things.
What job title are you most comfortable with?
So we looked at this as staff. There was a wee group of staff that were looking at exploring professional identity with early career lecturers and people just kind of entering higher education. And obviously I've been in it a wee while now, but still consider myself just starting. And I really, really struggled with the term lecturer for a long time. And I refer to myself as a primary school teacher because that's who I saw myself. And it's actually only been in the last couple of years where lecture and education is the thing that sits with me now more. Not the term academic, that's hideous. I hate that word. But yeah, lecturer in primary education for me, it's the primary part still sits with who I am fundamentally. With a subject specialism in drama tacked onto the end.
Okay, so what three values are central to your practice as an arts educator?
Passion. Don't know if passion is a value, but passion for me comes from a place of authenticity, and learners need to believe that you believe. I don't mean that you want them to follow you unquestioningly, but I think passion really engages and then hopefully opens up the space for debate and discussion. And it also brings energy, and energy is needed to keep fighting the good fight in this job that we do. Particularly, I think around the arts, there are particular challenges that need that drive. So passion. Did you say three? Adaptability, constantly evolving to meet students' needs and responding to what's happening in the sector as well. So that capacity to adapt. And then I mentioned earlier, empathy, to really understand my learners so that I can kind of adapt to meet their needs. So yeah, passion, adaptability and empathy.
Thank you, Nikki. So slightly different questions now. If you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
So given my current immersion in all things mantle of the expert, it would have to be the late, great Dorothy Heathcott, who developed mantle. And one of the main reasons for this is the last few years I've been attending the Heathcott Now conference that started on the 10th anniversary of her death. And next year is going to be at the University of Aberdeen. So we're bringing everyone up to Scotland, hooray, in October. With my colleague Will up there helping to arrange that. But when I've attended Heathcott Now and worked with people who trained themselves with Heathcott, they speak with still in such awe and with such reverence of the work that she did and how she worked with young people. So that's who I would want to be my mentor.
And if you could ask her one question, what would it be?
If I can't ask her, can I please ask you 1,000 questions?
Yeah, it's not a genie scenario.
I would ask her, can I observe you working with young people? Because there's obviously videos of Heathcott out there of varying degrees of age now. But yeah, it's not the same as seeing it happen in a room, and to really just feel what's happening in that room as she works with young people, because that's the thing that people talk about is how she did that. So I want to quote a well-known musical, be in the room where it happens.
Yeah, this question might not work given your last answer, but how do you think she would answer?
Yes, hopefully one of the reasons she developed Mandalay Expert was to make pedagogical drama accessible to teachers. So my hope is that with that philosophy, she would absolutely say yes. There's a brilliant video, an old Horizon TV recording of her work, in black and white video, of this whole row of teachers with their clipboards out the side of a gym hall observing her. That would be me.
Great. Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
No, I think just... Well, it's me, so yeah, obviously I want to say something else. But really just reflecting on, I think, again, just going through the MEd as well has really made me reflect on my arts practice, obviously. But also for anyone that may be listening that's kind of similar to me, where arts is just, no, I don't mean just, but arts is a part of everything else they do. For me personally, I think I always feel like a jack of all trades. And we joke, my first degree was in drama from the old RSAMD, as was. And we joked then it was a degree of a jack of all trades and master of none. And that feeling of kind of being a cuckoo in the nest, when I loved immersing with my peers on the MEd who were so immersed in their art forms and such experts in their art forms and lived and breathed them, whereas I'm kind of like a wee duck with my feet paddling underwater, scratching, feeling like I'm scratching the surface. But hold on to that part of it, because even if it's one wee part of everything else that you do, it's a really important part. And if it's passion that drives it, then that's all you need.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for your responses today. I'm sure our listeners will enjoy them immensely.
Thank you.
For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.